Well, this morning we're going to take a little deviation from the Gospel of Mark as we're now in the Advent season, the Christmas season, and we want to talk this morning about the star of Christmas, the star of Christmas. And so I want you to go ahead and get your fingers all dusted off so you can go to some different scripture passages, because we're going to go to a few different passages this morning as we talk about the star of Christmas. Back in about 1978, I was, I think, 6th grade or 7th grade. We lived just outside of Saginaw, Texas, on the hills there by Eagle Mountain Lake. And my dad was attending seminary, the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. And he was pastoring a small church, Lakeview Baptist Church. And so we lived out in the country and lived out on a hill and by the church in the parsonage there. And it was really neat. You know, I was thinking about that this week. I remember as a kid going out, just some days I'd just go out and wander around in the fields out there. I'd look for different things. One day I found a spring. And I was thinking the other day, it's a wonder that I never ran into any snakes out there. You know, there were cows and all kinds of stuff. But it was just really neat. I remember one day going out there, and there was a pond out there, and I noticed these little long black things on this piece of wood, and I discovered they were leeches. I didn't touch one. But just different things of exploring. Well, one day, one evening, we were at home, and all of a sudden, my dad comes running in the house, and he says, there's a meteorite that landed across the hill. Let's go check it out. So he and I got in the car. And we drove 2 or 3 miles up the hill, and we looked for that meteorite. And he just knew that it landed in one of those pastures around our house. And so we looked for a while, and we couldn't find it. And so we came back to the house, and he called the sheriff's department. And it was that visible. He called the sheriff's department and came to find out that that there were sightings all over the place from 3 or 4 different states. And it had come across, you know, that big, blazing, but he thought it was right there in our backyard. And I just remember the excitement of going out and looking for that, you know, meteorite. And, you know, it's interesting that things don't always appear as you think they do in the sky. It's also interesting, as you study the Word of God, you see a lot of different things that are mentioned in the sky, the creation. You know, we sang that last song and about the skies and how great God is and all the things He's created. I've been going through in my daily quiet time the book of Job, and God has a conversation with Job about the constellations in the sky, about the stars and all those different things. There's something to the stars, and we need to look to the skies. But this morning, as we look at the scriptures and we think about Christmas, I want us to look at a star that we're familiar with, the star of Christmas. And I want us to notice some different aspects of this one star. I want to share 5 different things with you, hopefully in a short amount of time. Scott, this morning, we were talking about that this morning, like Pastor Sean kind of set the bar last week. So Sean, Brother Gary and I talked about that. You kind of ruined it for us, man. But it was really good. A lot of good truth packed into just a short time. So I'm going to see what I can do this morning. But as we talk about the star, there are different aspects of the star that I want us to notice. First of all, I want us to go back about 3,500 years in history. 3,500 years, we will see the star of promise. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 24. We find the Israelites had come out of Egypt. They were on that 40-year journey, that 40-year trek to the Promised Land. Because of their disobedience, they had to spend that much time in the wilderness. And as they were passing through the area of Moab, people had been taking notice of these people, this great nation that was coming through their lands. There was a king named Balak, and he didn't like what he saw when he saw Israel. He wanted to curse those people. So he enlisted a wicked prophet who was not a Hebrew prophet, but a wicked prophet named Balaam. Now, we all know the story of Balaam's donkey and how, you know, the donkey saw the angel, and how the angel was trying to prevent Balaam from going his way. Balaam went ahead and went. He said, you know what? He got a word from God. Even though he was not a legitimate prophet of God, God still spoke to him and through him. And he got a word from God that he was not to curse God's people, that they were blessed. And the only prophecy that he could make was a prophecy of blessing on God's people. And so we read that story and how Balak kept coming back and said, "Hey, won't you come with me?" And Balaam said, "I can't go." Finally, Balaam goes. He was really a hired prophet. He was a wicked person. But he went, and finally, one of his last prophecies, I think he prophesied 3 or 4 times, and every time he prophesied to King Balak, he said, it's only a blessing that I can give. It's only a blessing. Of course, that made King Balak mad. But in Numbers chapter 24, we find part of his one of his last prophecies, Numbers 24, verse 17. Balaam said this, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult." So we see that reference to the star. The star. What was he talking about? If you read all the commentators, they believe that this is a reference to the Messiah. This was a reference not just to David, who would come on the scene as a king, who would come as the anointed, blessed leader of Israel, but it was a prophecy of the Messiah that would come on the scene, Jesus Christ. It was a prophecy of the star that the wise men would seek after. This prophecy was a star of promise who would rise up, a scepter would rise out of Israel. So that was 3,500 years ago. What I was thinking about last night as I went to bed, and then I woke up later and this passage came back to mind, and I thought about, as we see the star of promise, what we see is God's provision, God's providential hand, God's plan in action years before it came to be. I want you to understand that when we talk about Christ coming to earth, we talk about His advent, when we talk about Him appearing, it was no accident. You see, because man sinned, God didn't have a plan B. God knew from creation, from before creation, what was going to happen. And He had a plan in place. And here's this star that was going to rise up, the star of Jesus. Now, fast forward about 1,500 years later from this time, and we find that the prophecy that Balaam gave actually came true. Those shepherds were sitting outside of Jerusalem, like Pastor Sean mentioned last week. And all of a sudden an angel appeared. And he announced and he said, "Do not fear. Behold, I bring good tidings to you of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That was a fulfillment of the prophecy that Balaam gave 3,500 years before. About 1,500 years later from the time of his prophecy. It was something that came to pass. The star of promise. But next I want us to see not just the star of promise, not that aspect of the star being a star of promise, but it was a star of pursuit. A star of pursuit. About 2 years after Jesus was born, we find the record in Matthew chapter 2 of the wise men coming to Jerusalem. Look in Matthew chapter 2, if you will. Now, I say it was about 2 years after the time of Jesus' birth that the wise men came, because once Herod found out about it, he was not happy. These wise men came to Herod and said, "Where we seek the king of the Jews. We've seen his star." And Herod wasn't happy about it. And we find later that Herod sent out a decree to kill all the children 2 years and younger. And then it also mentioned in Matthew chapter 2 that they came to see the young child. So we believe that Jesus was actually a little toddler at the point that the wise men came. He was living in a house. Sometimes we tie those all together. It makes a better Christmas story, doesn't it? But here we find the star of pursuit about 2 years later. It says that the Magi, or wise men, came from the east. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, or Magi, came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Many believe that possibly Daniel, whenever they were taken into captivity in Babylon, that they took that faith of Yahweh God there to Babylon, that area, and it could have been that that message of the star that Numbers we read about a minute ago was proclaimed to these people, and that knowledge was passed down, and now here we find these wise men possibly coming because they had heard about these prophecies and they looked to the stars. And so they found the Christ by following his star. Now I want us to look real quickly at a couple of one specific Greek word is the word Anatole. It is a word that is used here in this passage, I believe, a couple of different ways it could be used according to the definition. It means east, or dawning, or dayspring, or rising of light. So we find in verse 1 that the wise men came from the Anatole, they came from the east. But also in verse 2, I believe you could translate this, that we have seen his star dawning. We have seen his star rising. We have seen his star in the east. They were coming from the east. And so they said, we have seen it rising. And so we notice about this star that it was his star. That's what the wise men said. We have seen his star. It was a unique star. And it was something that rose. And it led them to where Christ was. Now I want you to hang on with me. The scripture doesn't say this, but I was thinking about that this week. This was a specific star, a special star. It was Jesus' star. And it pointed these wise men to where Jesus was. And I was thinking, what are the possibilities that that star was actually the Holy Spirit of God shining the radiance and glory and brightness of God in the heavens to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be amazing if that, I don't know, it could have been just a regular star, but we know that it was his star. The reason I said that is, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? It is to point others to Jesus, right? To lead others to Jesus. I don't know, but that's interesting to me. But we see the star of pursuit as those wise men pursued his star and they found Jesus. Well, next I want us to notice the star of preparation. A star that would prepare the way of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now before the wise men came, we find the story of how Jesus' birth was announced to Mary. But before Jesus' birth was announced to Mary, her relative was also visited by an angel. And we find she was going to be the mother of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist and Jesus were actually kin. And we find the story of how John the Baptist was born. And so John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, was a high priest. He served in the temple. Matter of fact, he found out about the birth of John the Baptist as he was in the Holy of Holies one day ministering. And it was a great visitation. Well, now we find here John the Baptist is born. And we find Zacharias in the temple. And he's speaking to that little baby. And he's blessing this child. Matter of fact, this scene right here is actually a song. It's actually a song called the Benedictus. One of the songs of Christmas, the Benedictus, because it's blessing. And here we find Zacharias blessing his child under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And listen to what he says in Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79. He's talking to this little baby. He says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Isn't it interesting that Zacharias knew the ministry of his little boy? Because that angel had told him, Your son is going to announce the Messiah. Your son is going to prepare the way. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was fulfilling Scripture. When he grew up, he knew that because his daddy had passed that on. God had put it in John the Baptist's heart. But his daddy knew because the angel visited him and said, hey, your son is going to prepare the way of the Lord. But isn't it also interesting that he mentions that the remissions of sin would take place through this Christ child? Verse 78, he says, through the tender mercy of our God. Isn't that a refreshing word to know that God has mercy upon us? God loves us so much that He sent Jesus Christ in the world in the midst of our sin. The Apostle Paul says, but God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it's so amazing to think of God's mercy that He sent Jesus because He loved us and He had mercy on us. He knows that we're flesh and He has mercy on us. But how's the salvation going to come? Look in verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us or shall visit us. He was referring to somebody specific. When Zechariah said that, he said there's going to be a visitation from the day spring. Now, how many of you in your Bible, if you have the New King James Version, you have the word day spring. How many of you have day spring? How many of you have sunrise? How many of you have dawning? How many of you have a different word that I haven't mentioned? All right, most of you have a good version, okay? So, that's good. The word day spring is a reference to Jesus Christ. It's a reference. How is this salvation going to come? It's going to come through the day spring that will visit us, Zacharias told his little baby. Now, the word day spring is actually the same Greek word, anatole, for dawning or sunrise. It describes that star that rose to guide the wise men. It's the same word, that same star. It's the day spring. But here's a direct reference to the visitation or the dawning of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And Zacharias is prophesying 30 some odd years before Jesus would die on the cross. He's prophesying about Jesus. He's going to rise up and He's going to visit us. And God is going to bring reconciliation to His people through this day spring. And so we see the star of preparation. But next we see the star of preeminence. Now, Brother Alan, are you kind of giving a little stretch when you say that Jesus is the day spring or the dawning? Well, let's hear what Jesus has to say about Himself as we look at the star of preeminence. The word preeminence means that it surpasses all others. Look in Revelation chapter 22. This is the last chapter of the Bible. In verse 16, we find the very words of Jesus. We know the book of Revelation was given. It was a revelation. It was something that Jesus gave to John. Some of the passages, we find John speaking to an angel, that an angel is speaking. But some of the passages, we find Jesus Himself is speaking. And in Revelation chapter 22, we find the words of Jesus in verse 16, where He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. Jesus says, He refers to His messianic nature when He says, I'm the root and the offspring of David. And then He also says, I'm the bright and the morning star. As I was studying this, I thought about this. You know, Jesus is the true star. He's the true star of Christmas. But isn't it interesting that Satanists use a star that's turned upside down as their sign? Have you ever heard about that? You know what I'm talking about? The pentagram, inverted pentagram? Why would they do that? Well, they do that, I believe, to show their defiance of the true star of Jesus Christ, of who He is. They say, we're everything opposite of what Jesus represents. We are antithetical. We're the opposite of the righteousness and goodness of God. And so they took that star and turned it upside down. You know what? When we see Jesus, He says, I am the morning star. I'm the bright and the morning star. He is the true star of Christianity. Yeah. Now, word meaning. What does morning star mean? Morning star, it means it's the brightest of the stars. Matter of fact, the morning star actually referred to, throughout history, the planet Venus. It's not really a star after all, but in the morning horizon, you can see the planet Venus. And so the morning star means that it is the brightest of the stars. But also, don't miss this about the morning star. The morning star also is the signal that the night is over and the light of day is dawning. The night is over and the light of day is dawning. When you see the morning star, you can say, hey, something is about to happen. This point in history, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, when we read about the advent, the coming, the appearing of Jesus Christ, it had been after a 400-year period of darkness, the Dark Ages. From the ending of the writing of the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, we find that prophecy of Malachi was the last recorded words of the Old Testament. It was 400 years that went by between the writing of Malachi to the writing of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. A period of darkness. Now, God was still speaking, but we don't really find in the Bible, in the inspired Word of God, we don't find a recorded written word during that time. There were some things that happened with the Maccabees and different things that God's presence was manifested, but it's what's called the dark period. But now at the appointed time, when the time was right, when God had ordained that time, we find Jesus as the morning star appearing. The darkness was now over, and He was saying that now it's the time for the dawn. It's the time for the morning star to rise. The darkness is over. Now we've lived some 2,000 years after the birth and appearing of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And guess what? It appears that the world is getting darker by the day. Things are happening. Tanya and I were talking about it yesterday. You know, the scripture says, what is evil do not call good, and what is good do not call evil. But that's what men do. They call good evil, and they call evil good. The days are getting darker. We're talking about marijuana, actually. That's what we're talking about. And I said, you know, it's still proven that marijuana... I told Tanya to put her little cigarette out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I want to make sure y'all are awake. We were talking about that. I said, you know, it's interesting that people have approved that now. And there are states that are approving marijuana. And oh, yeah, it's okay, you know. But marijuana, it's still proven that the smoke will still give you cancer. And it's also proven that by smoking it, you're going to be dumber than you were before you smoked it. But yet, people are saying it's good. It's a sign of the darkened heart. It's a sign of where we are. And the Bible says, one day in the last book we have written, Jesus' own word said, hey, it's going to get darker. It's going to get darker. But watch out. The morning star is going to appear. I believe the morning star is a lot closer than it used to be. And we need to start looking in the eastern sky. Scriptures say when He comes back, He's gonna break open the eastern sky because He's the morning star. That's where the sun rises. And that's where Jesus is coming back. Amen? And so we find Jesus Christ Himself. He says, I am the bright and the morning star. The Gospel of John, we hear the same words of Jesus as He proclaims, I am the light of the world. Scriptures say weeping may last for a night, but our joy comes in the morning. Amen. Jesus is that star. And He is the star of preeminence. He shines brighter than everybody else. He's greater than everybody else. He's the only true, genuine star. But finally, I want us to notice this morning the star of power. The star of power. I want us to look at the little book of 2 Peter real quickly. 2 Peter. We find the man who we all know as one who denied Christ, the Apostle Peter. He was one who shot his mouth off a lot of times and said things that he may not should have said. He's the one that cut off the high priest's servant's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was a man of action. But he was one, after his denial that Jesus restored, he became a great preacher. God used him on the day of Pentecost to stand and preach. 3,000 people were saved. He was a pastor there in Jerusalem for many years. And he wrote 2 little books to the church. But look at what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1. He's talking about how God's given us everything we need. And then he goes on to talk about the Word of God and how real it is and how important it is, the revelation. I'm just going to start in verse 16. He says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Guys, listen, when we read this little book, we're reading the words of somebody who was with Jesus, who was there with Jesus. This guy was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus' true nature was revealed, His glory was revealed. Here he says, we beheld the majesty of Jesus. Verse 17, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" That happened on that Mountain of Transfiguration as well as the baptism of Jesus. Verse 18, we heard this voice when we came which came from heaven. We were with Him on the holy mountain. But look at what he says in verse 19. "And so we have this prophetic word." These things that have been written, we have this prophetic word confirmed, "which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place." And he's talking about the Word of God. He says, we walked with Jesus. We heard what He said. We knew what He taught. We're passing it on. It's been confirmed. It's the inspired Word of God. You do well to heed the Word of God, because look what it will do. "You heed it as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Listen, what he's saying is, you need to make sure that you pay attention to the Word of God, because when you do, the light of God will begin to lighten up your darkened heart. The light of God will begin to make a change in your darkened heart. We see the star of power that has the power to change a darkened heart to a bright and shining heart for Jesus. Now in this verse 19, we have the harmony of what we've learned about who Jesus is with reference to being the star. We find, first of all, the word dawn is the same word, anatole, that we talked about, the rising of light or day spring. That's in this verse. And then we see the words morning star, which are a reference to Jesus Christ. It's a harmony of the things we've been talking about this morning. In this one verse, the dawning of the light, the morning star. But it's interesting, what we see here is the reason why the star appeared. The reason why the star appeared is that Jesus, as the morning star, wants to come into our lives. He wants to come into our hearts, into our innermost being. He wants to rise up with the dawning of His presence so that we can become a bright beacon shining the light of Jesus to the world. So the question today is, has the bright and morning star dawned in your heart? Has the bright and morning star dawned in your heart? You need to realize this morning and remember that all of us are born with a dark heart. And I say dark heart because it is saturated with the nature of sin. We are all born with a sin nature. We are born with a darkened heart. And until the light of Jesus comes in and saturates our heart and pierces that darkness, we will die and go to hell without Jesus. And that's why Jesus came to the earth, so that he might vanquish the spiritual darkness in our hearts. Listen, this last slide, I want you to notice this. Christmas is not just a cute story about a baby who was born in a barn in Bethlehem. It's about the vanquishing of spiritual darkness in the darkened heart of man through the dayspring of the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about. And that's why Peter says, hey, the Word of God will point you to the true light. The Word of God will point you to the star of Christmas. But what needs to happen is that Christmas, that star of Christmas, the bright and morning star, needs to come into your life. Listen, have you realized that darkness and light do not coexist? When light appears, darkness flees. And that's what happens when we invite Christ into our lives. The Spirit of God moves into us. Christ comes to dwell in us. He is the hope of the glory of God in us. And when He does, that darkness has to flee. That's why Paul says, if any person is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. There's a new light in your life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Interesting. 2,000 years ago, those angels appeared. They gave the shepherds an invitation to go see Jesus. They experienced the true light of the world when they went to that manger. But you know what? The invitation is still open today for us to come to meet Jesus. And what He wants to do is not to just say, hey, it's good to meet you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to vanquish the darkness of your life and light up your life. Have you done that? Have you done that? If you've received Jesus Christ, then it's your mandate. It's your nature to shine the brightness of the morning star to other people. Shine the brightness of Jesus because He's made a change in your life. He's revolutionized who you are. He's made you clean. He's made you victorious over the darkened heart that we're born with. The Christ of Christmas, the true Christmas star. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Do you know Jesus? Is He shining in your light? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning if there's someone here that's never received Jesus Christ, that they would realize that Jesus is the true light of the world. And Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Lord, may we see the light of Jesus. May we acknowledge our need of Christ in our lives, who came as the sinless Son of God, God in flesh, lived a sinless life, but gave Himself to die on a cross for us that we might have eternal life, that we might be cleansed from all sin. I pray if there's someone that's never met You, never surrendered their life, that today in this moment they would bow their knee and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Save me. Vanquish the darkness from my life as You move into my life. I submit to Your Lordship today. Lord, maybe as a believer we've allowed things to come in and cover the light that exists within us. Lord, this morning help us to forsake those things that are drawing us away from You. Help us to be cleansed of those things that have squelched the light of Jesus. May we shine bright for You, especially during this time of the year, so that people can know true salvation through Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you this morning.